I can't get away from these prophecies right now. But to me, these are like Jesus walking through the wall, gracing us to come in and give us precise instruction. Again, I got to remind you, I feel like our train is finally in motion again. I can hear the slack being jerked out of all of your cars. You know, you start that locomotive after it's been sitting there a long time and you hear clunk, 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 clunk all the way back because it's taking the slack out as the train begins to move. And I know he's jerking the slack out of my car. He's finding all kinds of slack, you know, where I could be giving it to prayer, I could be giving it to the Word. And so we made the PDF available of all of those prophecies that were played this morning at the website. So it's easy for you to download and print. It's not my plan, at least, and that might be his plan, but it's not my plan anymore to break down those other ones like I did the first one and make kind of study guides and outlines. And really, that's your job. Read them as he speaks to you. How does this change your life? I am a teacher. I give homework assignments. Fortunately for you, there's not a test tonight. But I am going to put you in remembrance of some things because I don't want us to forget our training. We haven't been here all of these years to be novices and get knocked off track by stupid stuff. Is that okay? If you start obeying this, and I believe you will or you wouldn't be here tonight, if you are listening, but if you start obeying these prophecies, it's not hard to understand, really. I want you to go into prayer more than you ever have before. I want you to go into fasting more than you ever have before. I want you to go into my word like you never have before. And then he mentions intimacy, which includes worship. Okay, so it's all the parts. And the purpose is to, I read that verse this morning out of Matthew 3, where John the Baptist said, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he is thoroughly purging his floor. He's the temple. Same way Jesus went in and drove out the money changers and all of the things out of the temple that weren't of God. That's exactly what he's doing now. So what I'm saying is when you start the process, don't be surprised if all of a sudden you act uglier than you have in a while. You're going to find things that you thought were mortified that may have only been repressed. You know, you locked them in a room, put a lock on there, a 4x4 post. You know, you don't go in there, you know, and you're doing your best not to react in that way anymore. But if it's still there, it's still there. And you pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. How did Alan say that one day? You go, God, how did you get in that room? How did you get in there? I don't even go in there. Yeah, well, you prayed in tongues, you rascal. And what's going to happen? Now, I'm 72 years young, according to my mother. And sure enough, I start this process, and things rise up that should not even be a problem for a 72-year-old man. And I'm going, well, dear Lord, thought I dealt with that years ago. Yeah, here's how I dealt with it. Put it in a closet, slammed the door, put a lock on it, put a 4x4 post against it. But it's still there. I didn't look up. How many of you remember that word he gave me many years ago where he says death means death? And I called you to be dead to the world. I did not tell you to keep the world at arm's length. Within easy reach, if you want it again. Death means death. That's what mortify means. Mortify, put it to death. Now, that doesn't mean your body's not going to want stuff. It's not the body. Okay, it is the body. The body is the problem, but it's the part of our minds that still agree with the body. There is the real issue. And that's where mortification and transformation is. Yes, sir. That reminds me of something John G. Lake said. Again, I mentioned it this morning. John G. Lake, he speaks of a sanctification of the mind. He often quotes one of the Wesley brothers, I think it's Charles, who started the Methodist movement. Wesley said, sanctification is possessing the mind of Christ and all of the mind of Christ. What he's saying is it's progressive, but it is possible to come to the place where your thoughts line up with his thoughts all the time. You think like he thinks. Now, even at that, we've already studied a week ago or so, Jesus himself agonized in the garden. So get over yourself. It's not always easy to choose the Father's will over the will of the flesh. Okay? It's not always easy. But if he did it, him and us can still do it. Remember, you're not alone in this. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He is in each one of us to help us, that nature that we have. That still doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You may have to agonize in prayer sometimes. It may take some fasting, you know, to bring that flesh under dominion. But let's look at James just for a moment. I want to get into... calm down. Yes, sir. Deep breath. I'm not even in control here. You don't need to hear me anyway. You need to hear him. Well, how do you get your thoughts transformed? How do you come to the place? Well, reading the Word, but praying in the Holy Ghost has a whole lot to do with that. Here recently, again, somebody tried to establish doctrine that I just read the Word and believe it. Honey, if that's all there is to it, you wouldn't open your phone book and find 7211 different flavors of Christianity. You know, he gave us a book and he gave us a teacher. Amen. And that, his name is the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. In fact, just to help drive that home, hold your place in James and go over to Ephesians. Let me show you something that's precious. Now, Ephesians, if Corinth was probably the most baby church in the New Testament, Paul even said they're babies, couldn't even give them meat, had to give them milk. Well, Ephesus is probably the most mature church that we have. And there's some really high-end revelation in the book of Ephesians. Can we be in agreement there? So you'd say, well, if this is a mature church, they should just be able to read Paul's letter and do it. I mean, if that's all there is to it, just read it and do it. Now, I'm not against read it and do it. There's things that you don't need additional illumination to understand. Okay? But Paul himself, to the most mature church in the New Testament, he's writing a letter to them that is just full of revelation knowledge. But I want you to know, I want you to see he does not depend on their natural ability to understand it. Okay? Because in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now notice, the eyes, he is praying to the Father that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. If it's just a matter of read it and do it, why on earth pray that? No, we need God's help to understand the mind of Christ. This is if we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it plainly says the natural mind, the natural man, can't understand these things because they are spiritually discerned. You've got to get them in your spirit first. Even these words are not mind food. The New Testament is not mind food. It is spirit food. Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. And that's why if you don't feed on it regularly, you will get weak. And there's people that say, no, you won't. I say, yes, you will. I've lived long enough to know the difference. I've been strong at times, and I've been weak at times. And when I let my diet, you can have a body as fit as Kevin Pyle back there, Mr. Terminator himself walking in. But if you starve yourself for 6 months, well, 6 months. But if you really, you know, you're going to shrivel up. You're going to get weak. And the Bible is food for your spirit. The understanding comes secondary. And that's why Paul says, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. And Paul is doing his best. I mean, this is great revelation knowledge, that this is where we find out we're seated, we're quickened together with him, raised together with him, seated together with him. That's all great. But how does that apply to your daily life? See, how does that change things? The eyes of our understanding. God, open the eyes of my understanding, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and so forth. I just wanted you to see Paul himself in the letter to the most mature church in the New Testament. He prays that God would help him understand it. Now, isn't that something? Okay? So it's more than just read it. I've said for years, you know, you start doing that, you just take two verses and string them together. Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. You know, come on, that won't work. All right, that was free. That's not part of that. Doesn't count against my time. No, I'm teasing. All right, back to James chapter 1. Very familiar scripture. And I don't know where to start. Let's start in verse 12. I'm really headed for later on. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I want to put it in plain English. Here he's not so much talking about persecution. Here he's talking about plain old sin. You don't give in to the flesh. The flesh wants to do it. And like Bronx says, you give it the holy and anointed no. Okay. All right. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, this was God's idea, to beget us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, I read all that for context's sake to get to verses 21 and 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Boy, don't want none of that. Now, notice, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your spirit, to save your souls. Now, there's a reason that engrafted is in there. It really means tattoo. If I took any word and I had them tattoo it on my arm, it has become a permanent part of me. Now, God wrote his word, his law, in your heart when you got born again. Now, I don't think he took his finger like with the tables of stones and wrote, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not this and that. What he did, he changed your nature to a nature of love. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to sleep with your neighbor's wife. You're not going to steal your neighbor's stuff. You're not going to say false, you just go right down, false accusation, so forth. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Okay? So he wrote it in there by changing our nature. But see, that's not the only thing that he speaks here right now with us. He's speaking to us collectively, not just in Tulsa, but everywhere that's hooked up with this vision. He is giving us word right now on his present hour mind for us to finish this course, this assignment that he gave Dave all those years ago of going far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival first to a religious city, Tulsa, but that'll just be the start. From there, or Immokalee, or any, it'll spread around the world. That's the goal. Okay? That is a word that we know we have received. But see, what he's doing right now, he's engrafting it with you. That his instruction, and I really encourage you to go over those prophecies again and again and again, that those that we played this morning. The PDF is at the website again. You can have them available. Read them, pray, and listen. Read them, pray, and listen for his precise instruction for you. Because I'm telling you, you can tell it's moving from a pulpit ministry to a pew ministry. Can I say it that way? We're coming into the season of Joel's army. Did you hear that part? It says, it is my intention to use each and every one of you in all of the gifts. Each and every one of you. My Lord. Just say it with me. It's his plan to use me in all the gifts. I'm tattooing that word on me right now. That's becoming part of me. That's not something I have to remember. That's something that I am. It's engrafted in me. And I'm receiving with meekness that engrafted word. I expect to be used in all the gifts of the Spirit. I'm a candidate, Lord. I'm available. I heard what you said. It's engrafted in me. I'm ready. Hallelujah. And you are ready because that's for babies. Again, I remind you, everything, you can find all of the gifts except tongues and interpretation of tongues in the Old Testament where he used unsaved people. Come on. He can use you in the gifts before you get home tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, anyway. But you got to receive with meekness. Why is that word meekness there? Dave went over and over it. It's teachability. Stop arguing with him. See, he's wanting this mortification. It will start with the gifts. Smith Wigglesworth even saw it in a prophecy. He said the gifts are going to flow like water through the church. But I'm telling you from experience and from the Word, if you have manifestation on a regular basis of the gifts, and you have not gone through the mortification process, Dave was trying to tell us all those years ago how when he first started being used, and he would get testimonies, and he'd go, those that can't see me now, I'm emphasizing the way Dave did. Oh, you got healed? Which one of my meetings did you get healed in? See, because it was using his own words, fathead. You get puffed up. Paul, where you find puffed up in the New Testament is in the baby church, Corinthians. First and Second Corinthians, he talks a lot about them being puffed up. Okay? Oh, he used me. Ain't I a hot rod? And the thing of it is, he can use you in the gifts with all your handles. And the trouble of it is, most of the church, most of history, the church has not grown out of all of those handles. I was asking him the other day, now, and I can't really preach this as doctrine, so I'm just going to, this is Gary musing. Because you read most of the epistles, and they're mostly still about stop sinning, walk in your new nature. Isn't it? Not a whole lot about lay hands on the sick, those, you know, cast out devils. Yeah, most of that instruction is in the Gospels. And I'm going, why is that? Yes, sir. That brings us right around to where I... This is in the one of the prophecies that came forward this morning. And this one, so you can find it, it's Prophecy 19:10-27a. Prophecy 19:10-27a. On the page, it'll say, you who have ears to hear. You who have ears to hear. And he starts talking about this very thing. He says, let's start in the first paragraph. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say, saith the Lord. For many will be dull in their hearing, not having ears to hear because of the... Why don't they have ears to hear? Because of the layers of flesh that still surround and abate and hold back the strength of the Spirit. But I say unto you that those that have ears to hear, that I have given you a spirit inside of you, and I'm not speaking particularly of the Holy Spirit at this time, but I've given you a spirit to conquer your world and to conquer your flesh from the very beginning, to stand without argument head and shoulders above the domination of the flesh. Wow. To cast these things out and not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. Okay? But he said this was the first measure. In other words, this happened the day you got born again, really. This is not where I left you. I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. Now, let's just talk plain for a minute. Most of the church doesn't even believe that. Most of the church doesn't even believe step one. Where I grew up, all the time, they love Jesus. And I don't mean to be, they get people saved all the time. Thank God for them. But man, you are just an old sinner saved. You're still just an old sinner saved by grace, you know. And if you believe that, you'll never walk free from sin. That's not the gospel, okay? But he says, most of the church doesn't even believe that. Now let's take the ones that have been taught it. And 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, still not walking free. I'll use myself. I'm the poster boy. I was set free from cigarette smoking the day that I got born again. My spirit, I didn't know it as well as I do now. But the day I got born again, if I'd have been taught correctly, my spirit was head and shoulders above the dominion of the flesh. Really, it's a lot more than head and shoulders. How did Dave used to say that? If your flesh ever gets in a war with your real spirit, your flesh will think it got run over by a freight train. That's the truth, because the real you is made in the image of God. Okay? Sin shall not have dominion over you. So, but it says, I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy in only in your ability to conquer sin. And what's sad, hardly any of the church world has that joy. There's not very much, let's just tell it like it is, there's not a whole lot of the church walking free from sin. Now, I hope to God in this bunch we're not still dealing with fornication and adultery, what Dave calls the killer sins, you know, Dave, well, and Bronk and others, you know, the killer sins, the ones listed that says if you do these things habitually, you will not enter the kingdom of God, okay? Hope to God we're not dealing at that level, but he's talking about a purging to thoroughly cleanse the floor. Well, now you start getting into personal ambition, start getting into envy, start getting into other things. That's got to go. Okay? All right. So we've got to get quickly. Yes, sir. Yeah. Trying to go slow and not miss anything. This is why he tied it at the very beginning saying, when you start praying, when you start doing this, old doors to closets, the things that you've been repressing might start suddenly flying open. And you're going to find you're having a problem with something you thought you got rid of years ago. Don't stop praying. That's what most people do. They think, oh man, I was better off before this. And it can be for two reasons. The devil will convince you that you're doing something wrong. Just praying that there's something wrong with this message. A lot of people have left because they believe that. Or the other one is you don't want to deal with that thing because you still love that handle. And you're thinking if you quit praying for a while, he'll forget about it. Let me be the first to give a witness. Don't ask me how I know this. You already know how I know it anyway. You run up against something like that and you don't consciously think it through like that, but you did. You can wait. Let's pick a time. A month, 2 months, 3 months. Start praying again. Wham! There it is again. Right? He didn't forget about that. It's right there in front of you again. And you're going to deal with it that time or drop out of prayer. And time and again, time and again, time and again, until you finally go through the fire. How did Angie see it? We got nubs now. It's not like we haven't been pruned. We all look like ugly trees. You know, Dave talking about that apple, was it an apple tree? Some kind of tree he had. And I'm pretty sure it was Cecil. He had pruned it. Dave was gone on a trip. Cecil pruned it while he was gone. He comes back. He says, "My God, man, you killed my tree." He said, "There wasn't nothing but a nub there." I thought, sure, it was dead, you know. And Cecil kind of thought, he thought maybe he killed it too. I saw him trim this mulberry tree over here on the corner one time. I thought, surely they killed it. But y'all notice it's okay. Producing more than ever. And that tree, it wasn't dead. It had to be pruned. And it produced more fruit than ever. That's where he's taking us now. Yes, sir. And the reason that Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and pretty much all of the epistles that we have, it's sad that they're still dealing with sin. Because like he said in these prophecies, in over these centuries, he has found very few that are willing to stand in the furnace of purging until the mortification process is complete. Every now and then you'll find one. Well, he's going to find a whole bunch in this place. Amen? Amen. Back to this prophecy, because I didn't get to the main part. Read this sentence again. He said that was the first measure. Being free from sin, as far as God's concerned, that's day one. Okay? But this is not where I left you. I did not leave you to live the rest of your existence with your joy only in your ability to conquer sin. I have a much greater calling beyond that for you. For once you understand that you could conquer that person, he's talking about that old flesh, and live above in righteousness, I've asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you. And for this, you will need that spirit, that should be a capital S there, that comes by power to you through strength and through fire and through purging, saith the Spirit of grace. Now that is a word way of saying the visual picture that he gave us a year ago. We're the candle. He has lit our candle. We got a flame. We are a flame. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When you got born again, he lit your candle. But then he would show the fire of the Holy Ghost a year ago in the form of a tornado. And then remember, I saw the candle inside of that tornado. There was still a distinction. You're going to always be you. Lisa's going to always have her personality. She's always going to be sweet. I don't care what you slap her. Y'all go ahead right now. Slap her. You'll find out. No. But she's going to always have her personality. She's going to be a distinct person. Okay? But there's a purging process that only happens in the fire. I will baptize you. He said, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. And church, we are at that place now. We're at that place. Now, this time he's showing it as a wall of fire, and I know why he did it. If you're supposed to go forward, and there's a wall of fire, as far as you can see to the left, as far as you can see to the right, and as far as you can see looking up, if you're going to go forward, there is no going forward without going through the fire. Now, if we're going to have this revival, bless God, let's get on with it. And the instruction is real clear. He says, I've asked you to come apart and conquer the world around you, and for this you will need that spirit that comes by power to you through strength and through fire and through purging, saith the Spirit of grace. The next paragraph, my spirit comes to burn up the last of anything left beyond the entrance into my kingdom. Boy, does that not sound like the superfluity of naughtiness. One translation says the residue of wickedness. It's the leftovers. The things that are still playing with. Okay? He said these are the things that are left beyond the entrance. My Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will choice of the whipping post. Now, if you've never read the face-to-face documents, there's two of them in there about the whipping post. And it's talking about fasting. He says, I'll never make you fast. I'll never force you. It's going to always be your choice. But you're never going to arrive There is no avoiding the whipping post on the path to the fullness of your calling. That's pretty close to how it, word for word. Okay? Well, it's a free. Notice how he worded it. The Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will choice of the whipping post, where I, as a father, through my Spirit, will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you. Yes, sir. Now, he's bringing this up because it's important. It's not always just fasting. I'm going to tell one of my lovely Jimmy Miller stories. How many remembers Jimmy Miller? Love Jimmy Miller. Good friend. Funny guy. Sold out guy, too. He's the one that had Dave's book translated into Polish. Got it all over Poland. There's never been a revival in Poland. There's going to be. But anyway, Jimmy Miller is a great guy, loves the Lord, been serving God. But Jimmy, by his own admission, before this event, was just always a little bit tight with the money. You know, like, we could eat out at a restaurant. Come on. A $5 tip is enough. A $10 tip is enough. You know, just a little bit tight. You know, forget this 15%, 20% stuff. $5 is enough kind of guy. So one day, here comes the, how did he word this? He says, scourge away the remaining of anything left. Okay? Here's how the Lord scourged stinginess. Hallelujah. This is how the Lord scourged away stinginess. Let's call it stinginess from Jimmy. Jimmy's praying, minding his own business, and the Lord tells him, until I tell you otherwise. Oh, so anyway, so Jimmy's a little bit tight with the money. So he's praying. Now here's a scourging that did not involve fasting. The Lord says to Jimmy, until I tell you otherwise, whenever you take people out to eat, the tip is to be the same as the meal. Jimmy's first thought, McDonald's, Burger King. I'm not taking anywhere except McDonald's, Burger King. That's, yeah. But the Lord arranged it. He says, out of my control, I was taking people to steak houses and seafood houses. And it was $100, $200. And the tip was the same. He said, I died 1,000 deaths. You know, for a guy that $5 is enough and you've got a $200 bill and a $200 tip. He says, I started begging for the Lord's mercy. And you know, he says he didn't take it back for a while. He let that continue. And it's like, okay, have you got this, son? Have you figured this out? Are you okay with this? Yes, Lord. I won't be stingy anymore. I'll give him a good tip, Lord. All right. From now on, I'm going to watch. The Lord says, see, now that's a real father. That is our real Lord. And that's the kind of thing I expect each and every one of us to get. Not necessarily regarding tipping. But whatever's hidden in your closet. Because it's going to come out. If you're going to do this, pray and fast, it's going to come out. And that's a good thing because the whole idea is to let's get rid of it once and for all. See, it's purifying the gold. It started off, bring me gold that has been purified in the fire. Well, the whole point of applying the heat is to bring the impurities to the top, and the reason for that, so they can be dealt with once and for all. We're not hiding it back in the gold. We're removing it from the gold. Excuse me. Come on, feet. Stay here now. Ooh. I get lost in these things. You guys. Oh, my goodness. Let me read that sentence again. My Spirit comes, my Holy Ghost comes to offer to each one of you the free will choice of the whipping post. And it's not always fasting. You can see a whipping post there, right? In that Jimmy Miller story? Okay. Where I, as a father, through my Spirit, will scourge away the remaining of anything left that has any effect upon you. Following me in the fullness of what I've asked you to do. Do not be mistaken. Do not let arguments arise in your heart and mind to delude the message of what I speak to you. I'm going to read it a little more. But I give you the power at the very entrance of salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal breaker sins. See, it is sad to me. We were in Ephesians. I'd have to get my chronological Bible. It was a while though before that letter was written. Okay? And it's sad that he has to mention in there, be not Be not as the Gentiles. Where is it? It's chapter 5, I think. Ephesians 5. Hang on. Yes. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, now that's just greed, let it not be once named among you. It's sad that he would have to even include that to me at this very mature level of church. And I'm going, dear Lord, is that why there's been so few revivals? Even during this time period of writing the New Testament, it's not that Jesus didn't set them free, but believing it to the point where they walk free might have been something else. And I think he's still having that problem today. And so he's saying to us now, let's get on with it. Pray. Fast. Whatever impurities come to the top, don't run. Deal with it. Get it removed once and for all. Let's get this all mortified. Because we got a world to conquer out here. See, he goes on to say that here. A little further down. I gave you the power at the very entrance of salvation to conquer those things that destroy the image, which you call killer or deal breaker sins. That's these things like this, okay, that I just read out of Ephesians. That was done from the very moment of conception. But I am asking those of you that will hear my voice and purge yourself through prayer and fasting and giving of thanks to come away with me into another level. Why would you rejoice all your life as to make it the only and the center part of your life that you're able to conquer your flesh? That, to me, was the beginning. I'm asking you to go forth and to conquer a world around you and to conquer your city through fastings and prayers. Gee, I wonder what he means by that. Gee, this might be a part that's already illuminated. Maybe it means what it says. Through fastings and prayers, and to bring forth and to destroy, that's the last part of anything in you that is, get this, complacent. You remember when Dave said the greatest enemy to revival is complacency? Doesn't matter that Tommy's 44, Tommy Perez. He's 44 now. Still in that wheelchair, still not able to talk. Victoria, she's becoming a woman, you know, age of a woman now. And, she doesn't have a full brain. But I'll pray next week. I'll fast next week. Complacency towards these things. That is indifferent towards these things. For whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I'm going to read one more paragraph, right down near the end of that next paragraph. But whoever will lay down their life and, it says reach, but I think it means reap a great harvest in this life. Now get this, here's a promise. It's not always instruction. Here's a promise. If we'll do that, I will lay my hand upon you, and your exaltation will be to do the works that my first begotten did. It will become natural and become a flow to you and through you, says the Spirit of grace. Now, there's a promise. Right there is a promise. I want that one. Now, but I want it, but I don't want to go through the wall of fire. Yeah. He's not really giving us that option. Okay? Last paragraph. I can't even tell you how many times I've already read these things. I just keep going over them, and they keep talking to me. Okay? But those of you who have ears to hear, continue in a straightforward motion. Doesn't that sound like our passenger train? I just see it full of people, passenger train, and we're all going in a straightforward motion. We're not going off like this in a train. You all go in the same place, aren't you? All right. Listen always, obey always, and I especially love the third one, be quick to repent. Because I don't know any perfect people, and especially yours truly. Be quick to repent. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. For I do not have many in proportion, but the ones that I have will, here's another promise, the ones that I have will bring about this outpouring, says the Spirit of grace. Man, oh man, oh man. We've got to receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's got to become part of us. That one thing, like, He's going to use me in all the gifts of the Spirit. That's got to become engrafted in us. Where it's just part, like it's tattooed, where you can't get away from it when you sleep. You can't get away from it. It's become engrafted. It's part of you. It's who you are. It's you. Those things have to become like that. All right. I'm trying to quit. Hallelujah. Give you a preview of coming attractions. You know the Mount of Transfiguration? Where Peter and, was it James and John, went with Jesus up there, wasn't it? And up there they got to see what we call the Golden Man. We got to see the real Jesus. There was a movie years ago, and I can't remember the name of it anymore, but these aliens were on planet Earth, and they had what looked like flesh bodies, but they had a zipper. What was it? Cocoon, yes, cocoon. And anyway, there was a zipper. And isn't that funny? But in this movie, they could give you a glimpse that if they opened that zipper a little bit, the gold would shine. They'd close it back up. See, that's a good first start, because you remember what it said? Jesus, He shone. They were seeing a vision of the real man, not the human from Nazareth, but the God-man on the inside. The thing of it is, it's the very same life we have on the inside of us. We didn't receive something lesser. Now, here's the thing. On that Mount of Transfiguration, if you read it, it doesn't say He shone. It says His clothes shone. Now, think about this. We are spirit. We are soul. We are body. And then we have clothes. What God is wanting to do is not only, He's already saved our spirit. Through the renewing of the mind, can I say He is saving our soul. But beyond that, He is saving your body, quickening your mortal body with the very life of God. But if we keep going beyond there, that life will actually penetrate and saturate your clothes. Well, your clothes are shining with the Shekinah glory. No wonder that woman could touch the hem of His garment and be healed. Now see, and we know it can even go beyond there in an atmosphere that you walk in. We're not going to get into it tonight, but they brought people on couches and beds, sick people, just trying to get them close enough where Peter's shadow would fall upon them. And they were all healed. So there's a presence of God. We're on a good journey here. No longer just, well, I'm saved in my spirit, but you know, my flesh. No, no. It's going to be salvation, spirit, soul, body, if you'll allow me, clothes, and the atmosphere around you. Where you can't even go to Walmart without people going, what must I do to be saved? I'm looking forward to that. Okay, but none of that's going to happen unless we obey what the Lord said. And He's speaking to this church as much as He spoke in the book of Revelations to the church at Ephesus and Pergamum and so forth. And they had their instructions. We have our instructions. Are we going to do it? How many says yes? Yes, we're going to do it. All right.